Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 42, as we continue our study of the book of beginnings. Last week, or the last time we met and spoke on Genesis 41, we left it with Joseph, Genesis 41, we left it with Joseph is now the prime minister of Egypt. He's been elevated from the prison to the palace. God can elevate you from the prison to the palace. And in one day, God can change your situation, so don't lose hope. God is not finished with you yet. Amen? And so Joseph maintained his integrity. He was he was sold by his brothers. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He ended up in jail, yet God was with him. And in due time, God elevated him from the prison to the palace. He became prime minister under Pharaoh of Egypt, instituted a food program after interpreting Pharaoh's dreams, and then Pharaoh also gave him the daughter of one of the high up ranking priest of Og or something along that lines, and he had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Typically you hear it Ephraim and Manasseh because later on we'll see how dad and grandpa switches the hands. But Manasseh was born first, which means God has caused me to forgive and forget my reproach. And Ephraim means God has caused me to be fruitful. And you really cannot be fruitful until you forgive. And so that leaves us now where we're at, and now chapter 42, we come back to Jacob. Now, it's interesting, the last time we saw Jacob in Genesis was when Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. This is important. When you study the Bible, look for the law of first happenings or first mention. And then follow the pattern of when these things happen, because oftentimes these stories are types and shadows of things to come. So just as the last time we saw Jacob, which is Israel, was at a type of the crucifixion of Christ, when Joseph had his garment dipped in blood and was gone. Now we come to the next time he's mentioned, and it is during the seven-year famine. And just as Jesus was not seen after his brothers betrayed him and crucified him, he will be seen again during the 7 years, the final 7 years. So with that being said, Genesis 42. When Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there, that we may live and not die." So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, "Lest some calamity befall him." Now, if you remember, Benjamin and Joseph are the only two children of Rachel, the woman he truly loved, the woman he worked 7 years for and then seven more years for. And so they hold a special place in Jacob's heart. Now one of these two is gone, assumed dead, so he's not about to let Benjamin go with him, so he sends the other 10 to Egypt. And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Now this should ring a bell here, shouldn't it? Joseph's dream being fulfilled. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them, and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, where do you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Now, as we mentioned before, Joseph is dressed like an Egyptian. His face is clean shaven, smooth. The Hebrew men undoubtedly all had big, full beards. This was typical of the Jewish men. And so he's got Egyptian garb on. His face is smooth as a newborn baby's face. And for all we know, he may even have, yes, makeup on, right? Because sometimes they would put that even on the men around the eyes and so on. So Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them. And he said to them, now notice what he's saying is not lining up with what he's thinking about. Have you ever done that before? You're thinking about something, but you're not about to say what you're thinking. You're saying something totally else. He's thinking about that day when he told them about his dream. I had a dream, the sun, the moon, 11, and 11 stars bowed down and worshiped me. And you know, Dad, Jacob said, or, you know, what's the matter with you, boy? Or me and your mom and your brothers going to worship you, you know? And yet he sees the dream fulfilled. But that he doesn't say anything about it. He says to him, you're spies. You've come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said to him, no, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. But he said to them, no, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land. He's really having fun with them. He's really letting them have it. I'm sure, you know, up to this point, Joseph, the picture of Joseph, has been nothing but Christ-like. But now he's probably enjoying a little jab for all that they've done, you know. And they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. But Joseph said to them, it is as I spoke to you, saying, you are spies. He just keeps razzing them, doesn't he? In this manner you shall be tested by the life of Pharaoh. You shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. And so he's wanting to see Benjamin. Benjamin probably looked up to Joseph a great deal before he left. You know, he's the baby of the family. Joseph's right there above him. And, you know, the next to the youngest. And he probably took Benjamin under his wings. And so he's wanting to see what's going on with Benjamin. So he says, send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth to it, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. And so he put them all together in prison 3 days. Then Joseph said to them on the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison, to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your house, and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. So now they're remembering Joseph's face when he was pleading, please don't do this to me, as the Midians are taking him away to Egypt, and they're watching him probably in some kind of makeshift jail, crying with his face between the wooden bars or whatever. And they're saying, man, we are reaping what we sowed. They're remembering that and are saying, this is all because of the way we treated our brother. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy? And so Reuben, of course, and you wouldn't listen, he's like justifying himself. I tried to tell you guys. I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. And they're convinced they're going to be killed by this crazy guy. They don't have any idea what's going on. Isn't it something that sometimes God has got a plan? And it looks so dark, but it's not over till it's over. Because God said, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to give you hope and a future, to bless you. God is a God of blessing, not cursing. And he has a plan for everybody's life. We just got to hold on and not give up on God. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And so they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. So Joseph up to this point is speaking some form of Egyptian through an interpreter, and they're speaking Hebrew, no doubt. So when they're saying all this about, oh, this is all, our blood's going to be required because of our brother, they don't know that he can understand every word that they're saying. And he's just listening, drinking it in. And he turns himself away from them and he wept. And then he returned to them again and talked with them. And he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Now this was very hard on Joseph, because even though they hated him, he loved them. You know, Jesus was betrayed by his brothers, the Jews. We see a beautiful type of the cross here of Christ. And even though he was betrayed by his brothers, the Jews, he doesn't hate them. He loves them. Jesus loves them very much. And he's going to reveal himself to them very, very soon. You know, the Bible says all of Israel will be saved. And I believe all means all, don't you? So then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, restore every man's money to his sack, and to give them provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them. And so he not only gave them grain and gave them provisions, water, and food for the journey, but he put their money back in their sacks that they paid for the grain. And, you know, he's blessing them, but they're scared of this guy. And so they feel like he's setting them up when they find it later. We'll get to that. So they loaded their donkeys with the grain, and they departed from there. But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkeys feed at the encampment, he saw his money there, and it was in the mouth of his sack. And so he said to his brothers, my money has been restored. And there it is in my sack. And their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, what is this that God has done to us? Again, they are so paranoid at this point. They are fearful of their lives. They feel like God is, you know, that God is getting ready to zap them for what they did. And, I mean, they are shaken like a leaf in a March wind. And so then they went to Jacob their father in the land of Canaan, and they told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spoke roughly to us, and he took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, we are honest men. We're not spies. We're 12 brothers, the sons of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is with our father this day in the land of Canaan. And then the man, the lord of the country, said to us, by this will I know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me. Take food for the famine of your household, and be gone, and bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men. I will grant your brother to you, and you may trade in the land. Then it happened, as they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. Again, like, oh man, what is going to happen now? They're going to think we stole this. They're going to think we shorted them the money or something, you know, sleight of hand. And so Jacob, their father, says to them, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon knows no more, and you want to take Benjamin, say it with me, all things are against me. Jacob. Remember, Jacob is the one who God changed his name. Power with God. He wrestled with the angel. He was a heel grabber. He was a conniver. He was a supplanter. He was a manipulator. He got everything by his own wits until finally came to the place where he couldn't do that anymore. And he wrestled with God and said, I won't let you go till you bless me. And because he wouldn't let go, God blessed him and changed his destiny to be power with God. You know, sometimes we can forget what God has done in our life. That's why the Bible constantly tells us to tell it to our children, rehearse it over and over, the great things God has done. Because there may be a day in your life where it looks like all things are against you. You know what? Christians are not exempt to suicide any more than anyone else is. Because it happens at a point when a person is at their very, very, very lowest. And so, to guard from that, we have to look back and remember what God has done. Remember what God has spoken into our lives. Remember what God's plan for our lives was. Because our life is like a sine curve. It goes up, and it goes back down. And it goes back up, and it goes back down. And our emotions rise and fall with events in our life. And if we are governed by our emotions, then we are, as the New Testament says, a double-minded man. We're unstable in all of our ways. We're thrown about like a ship by the wind on the sea. But part of being a Christian is learning to not live by our emotions. It's learning to not look at our circumstances and say, as Jacob said, all things are against me. Part of being a Christian is recognizing that God loves me, that God has a plan for my life, and that I will not exchange what I don't know for what I do. I don't know why things happen. I don't know why loved ones die. I don't know why little babies die. I don't know why. But I know what I know. I know God loves me. I know God has a plan for my life. And so at those junctions, at the lowest point of my life, I go back to what I know. I go back to who I am in Christ. I go back to what God has spoken over me. And had Jacob recognized this and said, now, wait a minute. I'm Israel now. I wrestled with the angel. God told me that I'm going to have a promised, blessed future. He promised me that. I'm not going to believe this lie. I'm going to trust God. And that's really what trusting God is all about. It's never easy to trust God when you're in the hard times, but that's the purpose of trusting God. It's not hard to trust God when you got money in the bank and everything's great. It's at that time at the bottom of the sine curve. Years ago, when my children were young, Dr. James Dobson, most of you have heard of him, Focus on the Family, child Christian psychologist, he was explaining this sine curve of emotions to a group of young people. The reason being is that all of us have ups and downs, but when young people are going through a lot of the changes of life, puberty and all this, they have really high highs and really low lows. That's why you hear the statistics about teenage suicide. But one of the things Dr. Dobson said in this video was, you know, because I understand that my emotions are a sine curve, I know that if I can just hold on, even though I'm so low, that I'm going to be back up high again. Right? And so I sat down and I watched this video with my son Harrison and Kaylee. They were both young. Neither one of them were teenagers yet. And as I tucked in Kaylee that night, and she had to have been about 6 or 7, I said, Kaylee, there may be a day where your boyfriend breaks up with you and you get a pimple and someone wrote something bad in your yearbook and you had a fight with your mom. What are you going to do? I'm not going to do nothing, Daddy, because I'll be back up here the next day. I said, that's right. And you know, that, if a child can understand that, how much more should we understand that? My life consists of nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. And so I hold on to what I know, and I don't get to the place that Jacob was at here when he said, all things are against me. And was all things against him? No. He just didn't have all the facts. Amen. Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, kill my two sons. Kill my two sons. If I do not bring him back to you, put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you. But he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, Jacob is saying, if this happens, do you realize what would happen? And if this happens, do you realize what would happen? And then you would bring my gray hair down to the grave. He's speaking only from a negative perspective. He's only seeing all the bad. He just doesn't trust God. And so, as we will see next week, when we get into chapter 43, things begin to take a turn. And Jacob could not have even begin to fathom that this was all a God thing. In fact, at the end of the story, we will see Joseph saying to his brothers and his dad, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so, you know, we are living in perilous times. When we look at the headlines, we look at where we may be on the prophetic calendar, it could be scary for us. We could be like Jacob and say, oh, man, God, why didn't you get me out of here before all this happened, you know? But the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so whatever comes tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, we can learn from Jacob's mistake here. Because, you know, Jacob is looking horizontally. He can't see over the next hill. But the God we serve looks down from a heaven, and he sees the whole thing. How many of you guys have ever been to one of the Tahlequah parades here? You know, you go to the parade and you watch and you see, okay, here comes the band. And then the band goes by, and then you see a float, you see another float, and then you see maybe some horses, and you see another float, and you see another band, and so on. And you know, that's what linear time is. Life is linear time. We only see events as they come and as they go. But if you were on top of one of the buildings downtown, you could turn your head to the right and see the beginning of the parade, and you could turn your head to the left and you could see the end of the parade, and you could see everything in between. And that's the perspective that God has. And God can see the end from the beginning. He knows what lies ahead, and he says, trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And you know what? If God was just another person down here that couldn't see past the next event on the horizon, it would be hard for me to trust someone like that. But I know that God has a perspective that I do not have. And I know that God has a plan for my life to bless me, to give me hope and a future. And so I learned from Jacob's mistakes. I don't want to make the same. And so as we close tonight, let's just purpose in our heart, as new events may come and go on the political scene. You know, I read today that Russia is bringing in one of their big aerial planes that is the mobile command center that they use in the event of a nuclear war. And they're going to have that in so that they can control the whole situation from the air if they need to. And, you know, that's kind of a notch up from anything we've seen thus far. And it would be normal for people to maybe hear that and feel a little fear. But the Lord holds tomorrow. And I'm not going to be like Jacob. I'm not going to say, oh, this is horrible. What am I going to do? I know that God is in control. And I've read the back of Genesis, and Joseph says, you meant it for evil. God had a plan, meant it for good. And so I'm going to project that into my situation and say, well, you know, things may look bad, but I believe that God is in control. I don't believe God has vacated his throne. And because he's in control and hasn't vacated his throne, that I believe he's working things for my good. And so I can trust him. Amen? I can trust him. Hallelujah's right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn from Jacob, learn from our own past mistakes, not to be afraid, not to fear. 365 times in your word you told us to fear not. Lord, we promise, we have many times feared, we have many times failed you, but by the grace of God, we want to change. We want to be like, not like Jacob, but like Joseph, who even in the prison bars, God was with him. And he kept his confidence in you. He didn't cast away his confidence, for he knew it had great recompense for reward. And so he just held on to what he knew. He didn't exchange it for what he didn't know. And in one day, you moved him from the prison to the palace. And we know, Lord, very soon that you're going to translate us from this earthly body into your glorious palace in heaven. And so, why do we need to worry? Why do we fear? Lord, we have a mansion builder who's not through with us. And so we're going to wait, and we're going to watch, and we're going to trust, Lord, in you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you this week. And don't forget men's breakfast Saturday. And he's the reason for the season. Give someone a big hug before you go.